little bitches.
This is Amy Mann.
And I'm Michael Houseman, and we're from Till Tuesday.
We're in sync, and we want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
This is Peter Frampton.
This is Anna Wilson, and you're listening to The Sounds of Christmas
podcast.
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to The Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Very excited to have five-time Grammy nominee David Arkenstone back with us today. David, thanks for joining us on the podcast again.
Sure, Ken. Happy to be here.
And we talked about this last time, and I don't remember what your answer was, so forgive me for asking again. But you and your music are described in so many different ways. I wasn't sure if there was one that you preferred. What I have seen, one of the best contemporary instrumentalists of our time, neoclassical crossover, new age, Celtic, orchestral, world music performer, composer, and musical storyteller. And I feel like it's all correct.
It kind of is. Somebody labeled me one time, which I kind of liked, I guess because it has some roots in it. It was called, they said it was cinematic new age rock.
And that's nice. I like that.
Several tracks can easily fit that category, but not everything, of course.
I have also seen in different reviews for your recent albums, nearly 50 studio albums, nearly 60, nearly 70. I thought you told me it was almost 80 last year.
Somebody said 80, and somebody said I had 800 songs. So that fits, because
wow,
there's usually 10 to 12 on an album. But I don't think it's 80. I mean, I've worked on a lot of albums, but I don't know if it's 80. I haven't counted, though. I suppose I should, but I haven't.
And over a billion streams worldwide.
That is true. Yeah.
And in addition to all of that, gaming scores for NBC Sports, like the Kentucky Derby and Premier League Soccer, and a whole bunch of music for World of Warcraft. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That's what they call it.
In fact, you were just in Switzerland a month or two ago for a big World of Warcraft event, right?
Yeah, it was it's the 20th anniversary of the World of Warcraft. I think it's almost the 30th anniversary of Warcraft, which was a game, and then it turned into the World of Warcraft, which was online. And I've been doing music for that game for about 15 years, and there were like six of us composers there, and they had a huge orchestra, three choirs. And they performed like a suite of songs from every expansion. There's been like 10 expansions, eight or 10. And so it was just thrilling to be in the audience and watch that. And we got to take a bow at the end, which was always nice. You know?
How did they happen to pick Switzerland, just out of curiosity?
There's some promoters that are very into doing epic concerts. And so I think they brought it up to Blizzard, and then Blizzard got involved, and off they went. Took about a year to put it together, but it was very successful. I'm actually surprised there aren't more celebrations like that, because the game is huge worldwide.
Oh, yeah. That was a couple months ago. Earlier this year, you released the album Quest for the Runestone.
Yes.
And somebody had told me this was somehow connected to a trilogy you did in the 90s. Is that right?
Well, it's more like, I did a trilogy in the 90s, starting with In the Wake of the Wind and then Quest of the Dream Warrior, and then Return of the Guardians. That was on Narada Records, and that was three albums over about a period of 4 or 5 years. And the last couple albums I've done have been sort of minimal, and I just thought I would turn the page back to that era where I like doing epic music, because this album is pretty epic. It has a lot of people on it and a lot of drums. It wouldn't be classified as sleepy.
So stylistically, it's similar, but really the only connection is that two of the albums both start with Quest.
Yes, and there's a story involved, which my son actually wrote. So I told him the idea I had for an album, and I asked him if he would write a short story, and he delivered incredibly.
Wow, and, that's very cool that you composed an album based on a story your son wrote.
It was so cool. I still get the proud father syndrome every time I read it or somebody mentions it or anything.
So for those who don't know, what can you tell us about Quest for the Runestone?
Well, it revolves, it's a story about a young woman who lives in a village, very small village in the mountains somewhere. We don't know where that is, you know, somewhere where the mountains are huge. So it could be Switzerland, it could be the Alps, could be the Sierra Nevada. But she ends up realizing through the soothsayer and some other things that she is sort of the chosen one to go on this quest to stop this giant who lives under the mountain from causing earthquakes and avalanches on the towns, surrounding towns. And so she has to go through a number of trials and travails to get to that point. And it's a pretty fun story. He came up with a lot of names that I could actually put in songs, so that was cool. I didn't have to think so hard. I had to write the music, though. But it came very naturally. It really flowed really well. All I had started, I knew I wanted to start it with a song called Prophecy, and that was the first song, and then we went off from there.
And I saw that the video for Ancient Magic Awakens was chosen as the best New Age video by, is it Clausine?
Yeah, Clausine. Yeah.
The Clausine International Music Awards.
Yeah, it's an online publication. I was surprised because, I mean, the song is really good, of course, but the we worked on the animation not for that long, and it was just amazing that it got recognized. But maybe that's the way it goes. You know, when you work really hard and it's, or too hard, it doesn't always connect, you know. But this worked out. It was a lot of fun because we actually used a little bit of AI animation too, which is just sort of being born. So it's really fun to be in the first users of that.
Have you had a chance to take Quest for the Runestone out on the road yet?
No, we are playing a song from that album on this upcoming tour. We're about to tour in Colorado and Arizona and New Mexico. And I have added that song, Ancient Magic Awakens, to the set list because I want to play it live and see how we can do with it, because it's pretty big, but the band is really crack, so it'll be great. It'll sound great.
And then just last month, Fairy Fantasy came out. That's your latest album.
Yeah,
that's not connected to Quest for the Runestone, is it?
It is not. Although I recorded them at about the same time, but that's more of a New Age album. You know, it's basically the palette that determines the genre for me. If I get out, which I did, every drum I own, put it in the studio, and get all the instruments I could find that sort of fit the Nordic Celtic zone, and get a bunch of fiddle players and flutists and brass, it's going to be that big cinematic New Age part. If I do Fairy Fantasy, it's a harp, it's some melodies on violin and flute, and then a bunch of sort of other background string parts and things. So it's a lot more minimal than Quest for the Runestone. Just as fun to listen to, kind of. It depends on what you like.
So what is Fairy Fantasy about?
It's just, you know, it's the fourth fairy record I've done, because there's a label that likes to put them out. And actually, Fairy Dreams was nominated for a Grammy a few years ago, so I guess they think there's some connection. So they asked me to do another one, and I was only happy to oblige, because I like that style. You know, it's got some Celtic overtones, and then it's got some folky overtones, and I just love solo violin and solo flute. It's just a beautiful thing. So
Okay, I have an unrelated Christmas music question for you. And this is just because on some of the streaming sites, as I was looking to make sure I hadn't missed anything, they had a single from either 2 years ago or possibly 6 years ago, a version of Coventry Carol. Was mm-hmm. that from an album or was that just a single?
That was just a one-off single.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, who's right? Do you remember when it came out? Not to put you on the spot.
I would say, no, I don't, but I would say 3 years ago.
Okay.
2 to 3 years ago. Not two, probably 3 years ago.
Okay. I was very surprised it popped up, and I thought, wait a sec, is this something brand new? Is there a third release coming this year?
Well, I've done that song four times, so if you look in Spotify, you get a lot of different versions of it. I mean, I did it, first time I did it was on Enchantment, which was in the early 90s. That's an album I did on Narada, which had I Saw Three Ships and We Three Kings and some other things that I enjoyed doing. It was like a collection of Christmas songs that I had done. And that was the first time I did that song. And then I did it along the way for Green Hill, the same guys that put out Fairy Fantasy. And then I did it again just because I felt like doing it. Yes, I had an idea for a different arrangement. I guess that's a better way to put it.
Well, and that's been the case with several Christmas songs that you've recorded, I've noticed. And Deck the Halls is one that comes to mind. And the versions are completely different, sound completely different. I mean, there's there's the song Deck the Halls, you know, the melody, but completely different arrangements, everything.
Yeah, I put together a medley of that song, sort of the rock version, What Child Is This? And we play that on our Christmas tour. So it's kind of fun.
I don't remember for sure, and it seems like we're trying to do a lot of counting today, but I think you've done 8 or 9 Christmas or winter-themed albums. Does that sound right?
Like that, yeah. Yeah. I've done I was part of some compilations on Narada, and then Enchantment was a compilation of all those songs. But then I've did Christmas Spirit, Celtic Christmas. I did a Panpipe Christmas. I did Winterlude. I did an album called Snowfall, which is very minimal. That's all I can remember at right now, but there's probably others.
I would just add in Christmas Lounge because that's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah, Christmas Lounge, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that one. That was really out of the box.
So you have this tour coming up, A Winter's Eve with David Arkenstone and friends. Without too many spoilers, we already know that Ancient Magic Awakens is going to be in there. But how do you, I guess you probably already have, picked and chosen what Christmas or winter music is going to be part of this tour?
You know, it's very difficult, Ken, because as you said, I have 8 or 9 Christmas albums and they don't even, they're barely represented. I mean, it's so little time. I think we do a total of 17 songs. So you really have to pick and choose. I mean, I Saw Three Ships, and then there was a song called The Ice Palace, which was on a Windham Hill album. Called Winter Solstice on Ice. And I always love that song because it's winter evocative. And then there's a song from Winterlude, which I did last year and we talked about, called Darkening Skies in there. And then we do a little set at the beginning of the second set after the break. We come out down front and sit in a little circle where we're kind of like in a pub. And we do some holiday arrangements in that one too. But it's hard to choose because I added another song called Kyla's Ride, which is from 1996, I think, because I get a lot of requests to do that song. And so I added it. So it pushed something else out of the set list. It's very hard. It's very difficult. Oh. We should play for 4 or 5 hours. I mean,
that'd be something to see, although you'd be exhausted probably by the end.
Probably. I probably wouldn't do it every night if I had to do that.
I know last year you had you recorded some of the performances and you put that up on your YouTube channel. Is that mm-hmm. the plan again this year?
Yeah, we're going to videotape in Phoenix, I think, our last show. And even along the way, we're going to record the concert in a couple places. And I imagine we'll release it next year. Next holiday season, I'll release a holiday live, Winter's Eve live album. Because people always want what they're hearing. They always ask at the merch table, "Do you have exactly what he's playing right now or whatever?" And it's like, yeah, well, it's spread across three or four albums, here and there. But I don't know. I think it's fun to hear it live sometimes.
It is, and there's only so many days in December, and everybody's not going to be able to make it out to that part of the country. So this is great that
Oh.
next year everybody will get a taste of it.
Yeah, that's the point of releasing it so they can hear it all over the world.
So, Winter's Eve with David Arkenstone and friends in Colorado, New Mexico, and Arizona. Tickets available now at your website, davidarkenstone.com. I'm hoping everything I said there is correct.
It is exactly correct.
Oh, good. What else would you want people to know about this concert coming up?
This band is really fun. We play a lot of fun music, and there's some songs that are more, I guess I'd say, pensive, but there's a lot of songs that people know in this concert, and then there's a lot of sort of wintry songs because I love winter, probably because I live in California. But and I don't have much winter here. It gets a little cold, but there's no snow or anything, and I just recall that from my childhood, how cool it was. Of course, that was before I had to drive in it. But now I live in California, so I love this opportunity to go on tour, like in Colorado. Last year we didn't have that much snow, although it was on the mountains. So everybody who had to drive didn't mind that. But it's just a fun concert. I think people are they don't know what to expect, some people who come, and then they're super pleasantly surprised.
Do you
So,
think there will be video also when you release this next year, or is this just going to be an audio recording?
we're going to film video in Phoenix. So there could be some, I don't know if we're going to put a whole video out. I don't know if that would work necessarily, but I will release single songs onto YouTube and where people can see them.
I'm looking forward to that, of course.
It's just fun. We all have fun. We're very good friends, and we have a lot of fun playing this music and connecting with the audience. When you make a record or a recording, it's not really a record. Although I've done a couple LPs in the last Winterlude was an LP, so that worked out. When you do that, it's very hermit-like. I sit here in my studio, and I grab what I want, and then I mix it and put it together, and then I send it out into the world. But I have no idea who listens to it. I mean, a few people, if we have a listening party or something, then I can watch the comments online. But normally I don't have that much feedback. But when we play it live, there's a feedback right in front of you. You can't miss it. So it's really nice to have that connection that you just don't get from recording by itself.
One of the really cool things that you did this past year for Quest for the Runestone that came out as there was a special edition. I'm sure those are all gone by now.
I think there's 10 left.
Okay. So there's a chance somebody listening could still get one. What all is in that besides the album?
It's on Bandcamp. That's where you can find it, davidarkenstone.bandcamp. And there's just some, after I had the idea for an epic album, I came across this CD I had in my CD collection of all the Sibelius symphonies, and they were in this cute box that Deutsche Grammophon had put together. And I thought, oh man, that'd be cool, because I wanted to include the book somehow. So we made this, like 3/4-inch box, and I thought, well, it's got to be more than just the book and the CD. So I looked around and I found some relevant. There's a piece of vellum with some runes on them. There's a little tiny rune stone and a couple other things. I wouldn't want to spoil it for somebody. You know, it's kind of everybody. I didn't tell anybody before it came out, and then they were all surprised.
I'll make sure to put a link for that for your Bandcamp page down in the show notes so anybody who's listening can go check that out and maybe get one of those last ones.
When those are gone, then we have another version that's coming out, which is, I think it's available on Amazon now. It's actually a digibook. It's like a book. You open it up and there's the book. And then in the back, very back panel is the CD. You don't get all the gifts, I guess, the keepsakes, but you still get the book. That was important to me to include that.
Are there plans to do something like that for Fairy Fantasy?
I don't think so. I mean, what I think could happen is the four fairy records could be put in a box, like something like that. That would be a really nice thing. But I'd have to talk the record company into doing that because it's expensive.
So after Winter's Eve tour with David Arkenstone and friends wraps up and you get through the holidays, what's on your calendar for 2025?
You know, I have a couple ideas for another album, but they have not materialized yet. And I'm not in a hurry because Quest of the Runestone was all encompassing and took a lot of energy to get that out into the world. And I'm hoping we can do some concerts in Europe. We're starting to work on that. And then like I said, we'll probably put that Holiday Live album together for end of next year. But I really like to play more all over the world, as much as I like playing in America. I love it. But I love to use it as a way to travel. It's really nice. And it's fun to see other places and perform for a lot of different kind of people, different nationalities.
Do you think you would take the same band that you're doing the Winter's Eve tour?
I probably would, because we've been playing for about 3 years together now, and it's, you know, like this tour coming up, normally we have to rehearse a bunch, but this year we won't have to. I like that. I mean, we have to rehearse the new songs, but other than that, it's just going to be fun. So I would pick up some musicians there in Europe. Let's say we're going to Europe. Pick up, because they have excellent musicians there, and I would probably take my core band and then just add to it for something like that.
Before we wrap things up, what's the best way for people to keep up with you? Is it your website, social media, Bandcamp?
Probably the Facebook group called Arken Fans. That's the best one, and you can find a link on my website to that. I think it's go.davidarkenstone.com. And that's a pretty good way. And then we try to do something special for that group every once in a while. I'll have a listening party or a video conference. People can ask me questions and stuff. I mean, it's a strange thing that I've had to get used to dealing with the social media thing, because it's so powerful now. You can't ignore it. It's important to be in touch with these people who love my music and continue to buy it and support my habit. So I appreciate them. And this is a great way to stay in touch with me. And then I send a newsletter out to that group four times a year, sometimes five. So if I have something cool to talk about, I'll send out a newsletter.
Well, and as a music fan, it's such a great way to be able to connect with the singers and musicians that mean something to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Years ago, you couldn't do that. I mean, I would get every year or 6 months, I would get a lump of letters and mail from the record company, you know, in a big box. And it was like, oh man, this is pretty old news. You know, people are talking about an album before their last album I put out or something, maybe. So this is a pretty immediate way. And even on my website at davidarkenstone.com, you can leave a message for me and I will get it. So, you know, it might take me a little while to respond, but, you know,
it won't be years.
Nah, it won't be years. I remember there was a Simpsons one time. I'm a fan of the Simpsons. And
Marge, the Simpsons.
be a fan of the Beatles, and there was a scene with Ringo was in this big room with mountains of letters, and he had written to Marge, and he like he was still doing it 30 years later. So it's not like that now, but it was funny.
Well, put links to your website and your Facebook group and Bandcamp also.
Yeah.
Anything that I have missed that you wished I would have brought up?
No, you brought up probably more stuff than I remembered. You know, I feel like so much happens that I get on to the next thing. It's like, as soon as Quest of the Runestone was out, we did a bunch of promotion and we had a listening party. And like I said, we made these beautiful packages that are nearly sold out. But then it was already time to start thinking about this tour. So it was like, oh, yeah, well, we got to think of that. So come January, I'm hoping to have some time to actually clean up my studio and put some of those drums away and start thinking about the next project. I mean, I've done some new music for Warcraft. I've been working on that for the last couple of weeks. So that's nice, too. That won't be out till next year, though.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us again. And I'm looking forward to hearing about the tour. I won't be able to get out there because I'm in Florida, very far away. But I'll be watching your YouTube channel for any signs of it. And I can't wait to hear it next year when you release it.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I did a live album last year from this band, and it was a lot of fun to put together. So I've never done a live holiday record, so this will be different. It'll be great.
I'm looking forward to it. David, thanks so much for spending some time with us today.
Sure. Thank you, Ken. I appreciate you.
And thank you so much for listening, helping me share some Christmas spirit, and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I told you how to listen to the station, and you're already listening to the podcast, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream the Sounds of Christmas podcast. So you can click on that, find your favorite, click on over, and subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. And if you're listening to this episode on your phone, you can also click the Send Us a Text Message link and connect that way. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.